Right, our reading this morning is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and verses 12 to 17. And that is on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. So it's Colossians, chapter 3, and verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Penny, for reading. If you've got a Bible, please keep it open or turn to it on page 1184. It's our practice at St Simon's to work our way through different parts of the Bible. So if you're here visiting this morning, you join us halfway through this little letter to a church in Colossae, written 2,000 years ago. But as we look at that together, and as I preach, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Bible is your words, and we pray that by your Spirit, you would speak to us now through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we gather here together this morning, who are you? Where do you find your identity? Because where we find our identity shapes how we live. More than that, it shapes how we relate to one another. So as we come here together this morning, how do you answer that question? Who am I? How will Harley answer that question as she grows up? What is to be her identity? Now, some of us will find our identity in things that we feel are innate, things that we are born with, or we feel that we are born with. So the colour of our skin, our gender, our sexuality, our family, where we were born, Sandgrounder, Northerner, Mancunian. Some of us will find our identity from the things that have happened to us. I am a victim. I am a survivor. I am a single mum, a single dad. I'm a widow. Some of us will find our identity from the choices that we've made in our lives. I am a husband or wife. I am a parent. I am a failure in my job. Not talking about myself, I hope. I am a success in my job. I am a self-made man, a self-made woman. I am an Everton fan, I am a Liverpool fan. I'm an atheist, a Jehovah's Witness, I'm a New Age spiritualist. And the point is, wherever we find our identity, that will shape how we live, how we relate to one another. The people that we spend time with, the people that we don't spend time with, how we treat certain people. That is true for all of us. It will be true for Harley as she grows up. And this bit of the Bible, written to this young church about 30 years after Jesus lived, died, and rose again. This bit of the Bible written to this church shows them their identity, who they are, and therefore what it means to relate to one another, what it means to live in relationship with other people. And God is saying this morning to Christians, he is saying to those who follow Jesus, be who you are as God's people. That's what he's saying. Be who you are as God's people. Have a look at verse 12. Do you see how Paul describes Christians in verse 12? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You see, the question is not, who am I? But whose am I? Who do I belong to? Whose am I? And for the Christian, God says, you belong to me. You're my chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Now that language there that the person who wrote this letter, Paul, is using, it is language that is used to describe God's people in the Old Testament. So before Jesus. I don't know whether you've seen the film The Prince of Egypt, or going a bit further back, Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, or a bit more recently, Gods and Kings with Christian Bale. That story of how God rescues a people for himself in the Old Testament, how God rescues his people from slavery and death in Egypt, how he protects them, how he sets them apart as his special people, and how he pours his love upon them. And Paul is saying that is exactly what God has done for Christians through Jesus Christ. He's drawn people from every background. He's saved and rescued people for himself from sin and death. He set Christians apart as his holy, special, secure people, dearly loved. He says to the Christian, I love you and you are safe and you are secure with me in this life and for eternity. If you've been with us, we've seen that as we've gone through this letter to the Colossians. Our life is hidden with Christ, safe with him. And God says, be who you are. You are my people. Be who you are. Imagine a king. Imagine a king who, in times old, a king who is good and wise and gentle and kind and generous and loving. And imagine the king traveling through his land and he comes across an orphan by the side of the road, a child in rags, begging by the side of the road, stealing because of hunger. And filled with compassion, the king chooses to adopt this orphan, this waif and stray, as his own. He sets this orphan apart as his special child. And he pours his love upon him, dresses him in royal robes, gives him an inheritance. Well, how does that child now live? Does it continue to live as an orphan, begging on the streets, stealing? No, safe and secure and loved, begins to live differently as a royal son. It begins to take on the characteristics of the father who has adopted him in how he relates to other people. And you see, the Christian life is all about being who you are as God's people. When God tells his people to live a certain way, God does not say, live this way or else. Live this way or else I won't love you. Live this way or else I will send you to hell. No, he says to the Christian, I have rescued you. I have saved you. I have rescued you from death and hell by sending Christ to die for you. I have loved you through Christ. Be who you are now as one of my chosen people. Be who you are as somebody who is dearly loved through Christ. And if you are visiting here this morning, I don't know whether that surprises you. whether that's not quite the message about Christianity that you expect. Not a case of live this way to receive my love or a place in heaven. But live this way because you have received my rescue. Because I've made you one of my people, holy and dearly loved. My identity is a received identity as a Christian. If you're following Jesus Christ here this morning, you do not make your own identity, you receive it. And the most vital thing for Harley, the most vital thing for our children, the most vital thing for ourselves is to remember whose we are, who we belong to. Because God says, be who you are as my dearly loved people. But what does that look like? What does that look like in practice? Well, it means putting on Christ. It means putting on Christ. Look at how verse 12 continues. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We are to clothe, we are to put on these five virtues in how we relate to one another. If you were with us last week, we saw the negative, that as God's newly rescued, redeemed people, the things that we are to put to death. And now speaks this morning about the things that we are to put on. What it means to be who we are in Christ. And those things, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, they all describe Jesus Christ. And so God is saying, be who you are. Imitate Jesus now that he's your identity. Imitate him now that you are safe and secure with him. I mean, just think about those five virtues. Jesus was and is filled with compassion for people who were and are broken and suffering and lost. In the accounts of Jesus' life in the Gospels, we read of Jesus tired and hungry, and he sees a crowd of people coming towards him. And we're told he has compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And so he teaches them. Jesus was and is kind and gentle. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Jesus was and is filled with humility, constantly putting the needs of others before his own, stepping into the world in order to lay down his own life on the cross. Jesus was and is patient, constantly with his disciples and his followers as they screw up. For the Christian, then, to be who they are is to put on Christ, to be like him, having been rescued. There's lots of putting on at the moment in the media, isn't there? There's lots of putting on masks, putting on protective clothing. I've seen on social media people on London public transport putting on bin bags on their heads and bins in order to protect themselves. Well, here's something better to put on. Put on Christ. To be who we are as God's people. And as God's people here this morning, what will that look like for you this week? To put on compassion and gentleness and patience and kindness and humility. That'll be different for every one of us in how we relate. But let's ground this. Let's ground this practically at the moment. So let's take the coronavirus. Okay, what does it mean to put on these things in light of all that we're seeing in the news and the media? As we read this morning that Northern Italy is locked down in quarantine, 16 million people in quarantine until the start of April. What does it mean to clothe ourselves with compassion at that point? Now, some of us, I guess, will roll our eyes and say, well, this is all a fuss over nothing. It's stirred up by the media. We'll be fine. It's just a load of soft southerners who are going to get it. We'll be fine. But actually, to put on compassion means actually we recognize for the sake of those who are vulnerable amongst us, those amongst us who in a church family are immunosuppressed, that we'll actually take measures, bless you, that will take measures, hope you catch it, bin it, kill it, to protect. And that will mean kind of doing things that we probably would have said, well, actually, no, I wouldn't bother doing that because we'll be all right. But more than that, what does it mean to be filled with compassion, to put on compassion? At a time when we're being told to stay away from everybody, we will work out ways to move towards the vulnerable and the isolated. Now, that doesn't mean going around and spreading coronavirus, but it will mean that we don't withdraw, but look to have compassion on the vulnerable and the isolated. It will mean that to put on humility, considering others better than ourselves. I'm not going to go and kind of hoard toilet rolls for myself. It means I'm going to actually seek to see whether others in our community have enough, to put the needs of others before my own. But actually more than that, as Christians, as God's people who are holy and dearly loved, who have a secure future in heaven, Christians who have no fear of death, it will mean thinking, how do I use my health to help rather than hide away? It will mean, how do I share that certain hope in the face of death through Jesus Christ with other people? To a world that is reacting like sheep without a shepherd, running scared, conscious more than ever that death is around, how as Christians will we share the hope that we have in the face of death? And if you're here this morning and you're feeling afraid, well, Jesus Christ does offer a sure hope in the face of death, the only hope in the face of death. We are to put on compassion. We are to be who we are as God's people. And then lastly, we are also to forgive as we've been forgiven. Have a look at verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Paul is very real. Christians are not perfect people. They will not perfectly put on compassion and kindness and patience and gentleness. Christians will sometimes fall out with one another. And so they are to forgive. We are to forgive. And again, you see how God roots that in identity. He doesn't just say, forgive. He says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And how has the Christian been forgiven? Well, we've seen it already in Colossians 2, verse 13. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How has God forgiven us? He has forgiven us all our sins. Chapter 2, verse 13. When Christ died on the cross, the record of all the Christian's sins that demanded our death was nailed to the cross. It was taken away. We were forgiven all our sins when Christ died. And so that means we are to forgive others in that same way, completely. There was a beautiful example of this that made the news headlines a couple of months ago. In September 2018, in Dallas, Texas, an off-duty patrol officer, Amber Geiger, she mistook 26-year-old Botham Jean for a burglar. She shot Botham and she killed Botham. And this October, she was found guilty of murder and she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And at her sentencing, Botham's brother Brant gave a victim impact statement. Let me read you some of the words that he said. He said to Amber, "If you are truly sorry, and I speak for myself, I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you also." He went on, "I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did. But presently I want the best for you. And the best would be to give your life to Christ. And he finished by saying, again, I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you. And then turning to the judge, he said, I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug? And he steps down and he gives the woman who killed his brother a hug. You can go and see it on YouTube. There is a man who knows what it is to be forgiven all his sins. A man who is then freed to forgive others. And if you're a Christian here this morning, and you know what it is to be forgiven all your sins, who are the people that you need to forgive this week? Who are the people that you need to ask forgiveness from? It's not easy, but it is what we're called to do. And the more that you know the depth of your own forgiveness, the easier it will be to forgive others, to not hold on to grudges and grievances. But maybe you've walked into church this morning and you are expecting a community that has everything sorted. Well, I've got news for you. That ain't us. We're a community of forgiven sinners who know that Christ has died for us, who know that we continually get things wrong. But we're putting on new clothes. And we're never going to be perfect this side of heaven. But we're living in light of the forgiveness that we have received. And that is what it is to be a Christian. I receive an identity as God's holy, dearly loved child, forgiven. And so I seek to live in light of that identity. Christians here this morning, and can I encourage you to do what we said last week? Go away with that passage open in front of you this week. Read it, pray it through. Ask yourself, what are the ways in which I need to put on compassion, or what are the ways in which I need to forgive this week? And as you do that, remember who you are as God's holy, dearly loved, chosen people. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your kindness to us. Thank you that for those who are found in Christ this morning, that we are your chosen people, holy and dearly loved, forgiven. So please would you help us to be who we are in how we relate to others. Help us to feel the liberation of showing compassion and kindness and forgiveness and not harboring bitterness. Please help us to be who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.